What?
That was my impression of the Mel Gibson tape.
Oh, I'm hoping to get to that in the audio vault.
In the what, Rob?
The audio vault.
The audio vault. Very good. We're going to get to that in the audio vault, hopefully.
Yeah, look forward to
brand
that.
New news breaking. We're on top of it here.
That's right.
We are on top of it the Mike
good.
O'Mara Show.
Yes.
Before we get to the meat, the meat of the program, it's a Thursday, and that means birthdays. We have to get through these. And then, in a slight mailbag wrinkle, we have a letter to Oscar. Oscar, are you going to want to read it, or do you want me to read it?
I like to practice reading.
Thank you. Here are the birthdays today.
Nothing better than a wrinkled bag.
You've come
Mike.
To the right place.
Isolate that. I'll put that in a machine. I like to practice reading.
We'll find a spot.
Michael Kemmerer has a birthday April 30th, but would like his greeting now because he's 2 weeks behind and is listening. That's not good.
No, it isn't. No.
You get past 2 weeks, you're not helping me.
No, you're not helping any of us.
We keep the show very topical and very timely.
Fresh is the day's headline.
Sorry, Michael. It doesn't work that way.
That's right.
No birthday greeting for
as
you.
As a matter of fact, no birthday this year. He
That's
has to
right.
stay the same age
exactly.
for another year.
There it is. Yeah, deal with it, Michael.
What a jerk.
April Reyes had a birthday on Tuesday. She'd like to hear Buzz's sexy voice say, "Hello, April. I love Filipino women." I think that'll get me hot, too.
Mm.
All right, lay it on her, Buzz.
"Hello, April. I love Filipino women."
Can I say hi to her, too?
No.
Yeah. I mean, why do you want to kill the Buzz?
Well.
Do you want to say hi to April?
Listen.
Very good.
Yeah.
Amazon page customer Dave Lapuri turned 48 on Tuesday. He's been listening since 99, and he says, "Keep up the funny." No. Merle Balin, where do they come from?
I don't know. Very French.
It's only the people that want their birthday said that have these ridiculously difficult names.
Well, because no one in real life will say happy birthday because their name is too hard.
We've been getting so many French names, and I think Rob's theory is right. The Canadians are invading.
Merle Balin Malou.
Mayou.
Or Mayou.
Or May,
it's M-A-I-L-L-O-U-X. Right. Now, L-O-U-X is Lou.
Lou.
Mayou. I'm going to say with... it doesn't have a thingy on it, though, but yeah, I'm going to say Mayou or
so
Malou.
It's female.
Turns 38 today and invites everyone to play paintball at Dillsburg. Is this a plug for the company?
No. She just, every year on her birthday, she gets a bunch of people together there in Dillsburg to play paintball.
Must be nice.
Pennsylvania?
She invites everyone to play paintball in Dillsburg, Pennsylvania.
You know,
home of the dildo.
I used to go there because they had a place called Paul's Pancake Barn.
And in Dillsburg?
Yeah, and they serve fried stuffing balls. They were great.
Oh, that sounds
good. Sounds
painful.
Really good. How far is it from here?
It was halfway to the way to Harrisburg.
Oh,
I used to do a shift
sense.
Up there.
Yeah.
Where
there
did I have stuffing balls?
Well, it had to be.
It was a pan
service.
It was a pan fried stuffing ball. Without question, one of the greatest
delicious.
Appetizers I've ever had.
Fried.
Just made me think I want to make that next
fried
year.
Fried bread.
It sounds good.
It's stuffing.
I haven't had it, but
it's stuffing
right,
sautéed in butter.
Sounds fantastic.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
And I'm going to Dillsburg. Is the place still there?
No, they closed the pancake barn.
Bastards.
I know.
Thanks to Weight Not, she's 25 pounds lighter than last year, and thanks to the fact that they closed
Paul's
pancake. Barry's pancake.
That had to
well,
help.
As soon as she went on Weight Not, the place went out of business.
Okay. Tomorrow is 4:20, and that's the day Nick was born, according to his friend Ed.
Hey, you know that he shares a birthday with Adolf Hitler.
That's right.
Jesus. You couldn't wait till couldn't even wait till tomorrow, could you?
You brought it
you
up.
You couldn't even. I brought the fact that the guy's got a birthday. You brought
right.
That'll we're be doing, featured in the bonus hour this week.
Every year I'm blown
That's what
away
I hate about you.
You know when these people were born.
I know.
These
it's sick.
Evil, evil people.
It's truly evil.
Yeah.
Tomorrow is 4:20. That's the day Nick was born, Rob. We don't have to mention Hitler.
And there you go again.
According to his friend Ed. Eddie says Nick is a swell guy. And the man who introduced him to this podcast.
Well
that's
thank
fantastic.
You.
Brad Berthelsen.
Exactly, Mike.
Oh,
Brad Berthelsen. Brad Berthelsen turns 31 on Saturday and belly laughs whenever he hears Charlie. Isn't that nice?
That is
Mike,
nice.
Mike Scheinberg, now, you got to ask directly.
Yeah.
Charlie's birthday is December 13th.
Mike Scheinberg hits the big 4-0 Saturday. He loves it when Mike sings about Johnny Constantino. That's so nice.
Isn't it?
Saturday, Jennifer Seaford Gendrud.
Is this supposed to be happy birthdays?
Okay.
What is
this? Request?
Mikey Scheinberg, you're such a good boy, just like Johnny. Constantino, on the outside, he's so happy, but on the inside, he's so sad.
You made Michael very nice. Happy.
You think Johnny's still alive?
There he is.
Is it hot in here?
It is now.
Jennifer Seaford Gensrud.
I know. Wow.
Jesus Christ.
I know.
Jennifer Seaford Gensrud turns 32. She sent this herself because she said her husband is also in his douchebag 30s. Right. I guess that means he wouldn't,
he wouldn't get around to it. Yeah.
That's funny. Alan Jenkins turns 27 on Sunday. He loves to hear Oscar and his papa.
Hey,
wow.
Alan.
Okay, we're starting to get a theme here. I just want everybody to put it in their pants.
Yeah, it's all Request Thursday.
Next week.
Next week,
Oscar's papa will visit when Oscar gets back from San Diego.
Really? Nice. Well, we'll look forward to that.
Sean Battershall. Where? These are made up.
You think I'm making these?
You make these up.
I do make
you
up these.
You smoke
names.
A big fatty and
that's
put
right.
these down.
And got out all my alphabet letters.
Sean Battersall.
Alphabet letters.
Listens to all of the Moore Broadcasting shows
and
would like to hear Rob's traditional happy birthday and whatnot.
I don't even know what that is.
What we all do.
See, I didn't understand his letter either, but apparently last year Rob said happy birthday and whatnot to this guy, and he liked it.
And all the Moore Broadcasting shows, we like to give them a plug here. We've got Tech 411.
Yes, right. New show.
This Week in America.
Right. And,
I can't remember
that's
the last
That's about
one.
It.
Anyway, Brian Lennon, who buys everything we sell. I like that belly laugh from RJ.
Yeah.
That's good. That tells me I've hit.
Yeah. You have.
And I've hit the bullseye. Brian Lennon, who buys everything we sell, turns 41 on Sunday.
Yay, Lennon.
Those are our birthdays.
Happy
and now
birthday,
our
y'all.
Letter of the week comes to Oscar Santana.
Yes.
And do we have any music that might be appropriate for Oscar trying
just,
to read?
Just
imagine.
Quick audible with Brad Berthelsen that
yes.
you mentioned with Charlie.
Yes.
His girlfriend, they're both Uber listeners.
Yes.
And Brad's been through a lot this last couple years, and just a special happy birthday to
yes.
him. She wrote a nice little message for him.
Happy birthday, Brad.
So you got a
way
good
to go,
egg,
Brad. You rock. Thank you very much.
Here's music for Oscar.
What is it?
Elmo's World. Nice. I'm a big fan of Elmo. How'd you know?
Oh, you would. Yes. You have a tip on the Elmo at home, Oscar?
Oh,
no, I do.
I can tell within 5 minutes of the show whether Rob's going to be on his game today, and he is. Yay.
So, I'll try and forge through. This is from Kim Canino.
Uh-huh.
Kim Canino.
And she wrote this a couple days ago. She says she's wondering about, there's a South American man I work with. Could be Bolivian, Argentinian, but not Mexican.
Okay.
I'm glad she said that. Mm-hmm. Definitely not Mexican.
We've cleared that up.
Yes. He calls me darling when he calls me on the phone, and he will say, hi, darling, or when I see him and as a greeting, he uses darling. I found out by talking with another girl in the office that he calls her señorita. I would like to know the difference. Now I work in the warehouse and the other girl works in accounting. I'm 7 years older than the other girl and about 50 pounds heavier.
Mm.
I used to be 80 pounds, but thanks to Weight Not, I'm 50 pounds heavier.
So is she indicating that the señorita is svelte?
Well,
and she's fat?
She says that she's lost weight, but I think that's what she's indicating.
She's indicating she might
heavier.
Not be as attractive as the
yes.
other one.
Hello,
okay.
darling.
The señorita that works in accounting.
Yes.
And that she, who the lady, Kim, who works in the warehouse, she wants to know why the darling and the señorita.
Yeah, the difference.
And why? The only thing I would say is señorita, you would say to a younger woman, regardless of what she looks like.
I'm sorry.
And darling.
Hold on a
yes.
second. Let me just get out this out of my system.
It's okay.
His crayon too. Loves his goldfish, his crayon.
Sometimes he comes up with one I can't get by.
Here's the finish, Mike.
Okay.
Sing if you like.
Okay. Thank you.
Now,
stop
señorita it. Means it's really the Spanish equivalent of miss, right?
Yes,
it just means
miss.
Someone who's unmarried.
Yes, yes. señora would be would be a Mrs.
Right. Hi, señorita.
And señorita would be yes. hello, miss.
Yeah. So I think the darling
though is
he
more
wants
familiar.
The banger.
Yeah,
I think he wants the banger.
Really?
So that's probably good news.
Yeah,
for her.
That's great news.
Excellent. Or maybe it's horrible news.
Or
for
if
her.
You're, I mean, look, if you're into it, he's basically making a pass.
Right.
He's flirting with you.
Right. Right.
If you're not into it. You know, maybe you gotta talk to him.
Maybe he has a thing for plus size women.
And beware if he starts calling you gringo.
You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
I'm Winston Wolfe. I solve problems.
Good, we got one.
So I heard. May I come in?
Yeah, please do.
First thing, I need you two fellas to do is take those cleaning products and clean the inside of the car. I'm talking fast, fast, fast. You need to go in the back seat, scoop up all those little pieces of brain and skull. Get it out of there. Wipe down the upholstery. Now, when it comes to upholstery, you don't need to be spick and span. You don't need to eat off it. Just give it a good once-over.
Please, would be
nice. What you need to take care of are the really messy parts.
Please, would be nice.
Pools of blood that I've collected, you got to soak that shit up.
Please, would be nice.
Boys, get to work.
Please, would be nice.
Come again?
I said a please would be nice.
Get it straight, Buster. I'm not here to say please. I'm here to tell you what to do. And if self-preservation is an instinct you possess, you better f***ing do it and do it quick. I'm here to help. If my help's not appreciated, lots of luck, gentlemen.
No, 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 Mr. Wolf. It ain't like that. Your help is definitely appreciated.
Mr. Wolf, listen. I don't mean disrespect, okay? I respect you. I just don't like people barking orders at me, that's all.
If I'm curt with you, it's because time is a factor. I think fast, I talk fast, and I need you guys to act fast if you want to get out of this. So, pretty please, with sugar on top. Clean the f***ing car.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Buzz Burbank, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana. And now, from his couch, here's Mike.
Man, I'd love to be able to do that. What? I'd love to be able to put words on a paper
impact.
That impact.
Yeah.
Like a Mr. Tarantino.
Oh, very crisp.
Man, that's as crisp
that movie
a
sparkles.
Scene as you will ever see in a film. I love that.
Live
from the Cappy Fiber Studios, it's America's most beloved podcast. This is the Mike O'Mara Show. We're downloaded more than 13 million times.
That's a lot.
And you know, I've heard ads for other websites and other web businesses. You know what? That 13 million is a hell of a number.
Pretty impressive.
And we should be very proud
of that. Lucky 13.
You know, as I mentioned on stage at the State Theater, as Adam Carolla calls that, Wednesday.
Sure.
We're heard in 150 countries worldwide. You can call us at 718-506-1625. And, yeah, that's if you have something.
Sideways.
We'd really, really love you to call us.
Please have something.
It is Thursday. This is April 19th, 2012, and we are brought to you today by
Encore
Insurance Services, LLC. Even if you already have life insurance, you might be paying too much.
Encore
might be able to help you. For a free quote, visit Smart Term or call 866-347-5748. They'll compare rates to help you save. Licensing and disclaimer info at smartterm.com.
Encore!
Insurance Services. Yes, that's right. We've stolen the entire bit from the Aflac Duck.
Yeah.
And you know what? They gave up their rights when they fired Gilbert Gottfried.
That's right.
Pussies. Hello, Oscar.
Hi, Encore's coming next week to take my blood.
Oh, really?
Yes.
You're going to get some life insurance.
Yes.
Oh, somebody's getting close to settling down.
That's quite a premium when they take your blood.
You only get that life insurance when you want somebody to get all the money.
That's
but
right.
You know, it's time for you to do that, even if you're tragically single the rest of your days.
Yeah.
That's the way to look
at
it.
Well, when my brother got married, I remember we were driving back to the airport and he started just breaking down everything to me. I said, you know what? It's never too young. I'm in my 30s. Right. Anything's possible.
You'll save a lot of money.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, got my blood work back today. True. And is it triglycerides?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Those are higher than they should be. Is that because you eat a lot of salt?
Oh, I don't think so.
I'm a salt.
No.
That's a fat
thing. My cholesterol was below the normal range.
Triglycerides, I think, has to do with fat, right?
Yeah, it's related to fat and cholesterol.
Well, look at me.
No, I think you look wonderful today.
Thank you, Rob. I appreciate that. I have lost a little weight. Mm-hmm. Been walking my ass off. Rehabbing my knee. You know, I did recumbent bike. I've done the elliptical.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm here to tell you exercisers out there, I'm walking, and it's kicking my ass.
I'm walking.
Because
now, so do you say walking is harder than...
I did miles down in Florida in January on this recumbent bike. It doesn't mean dick. If you want to get out
your
there
Walter and Brennan bike?
It doesn't mean dick.
Yeah.
If you want to rehab something, you got to get out there and stand on your legs.
Now, are you walking outside or are you treadmilling?
I'm walking outside.
Well, you know, that is actually more intense workout than a treadmill.
But, I mean, I never... If I had known how... It was going to kick my ass. How much pain I was going to be in with this knee.
Right.
You know, this little surgery I had back in November that I really foolishly thought, hey, you're
no
in.
Big deal.
They give you a brand new one, it comes back. You know, I'm getting statistics like my rehab therapist says my quad is about an inch smaller than my quad on the left knee.
And
I mean, it just it racks you.
I hate to bring it up. Do you really think it has anything to do with that, or is it more with the fact that it's a haunted corpse's knee?
No, it does.
I mean, we have haven't brought it up in a long time. Your knee is from a dead person.
It's not just the fact that you're inactive for a while. It's the fact that as soon as you become active, you're favoring this thing without even knowing that you're favoring it.
Your body adapts. Right.
And so I was almost seriously, when I started this on Monday, and I haven't done it yet today, so maybe I'm feeling a little more peppy than I have been on the show, but I got 2 miles in front of me today.
Right.
And I will say that I'm walking in back of Carla, who's doing her level best.
That's a great place to be.
Yeah, that's true. Thank you, Rob. You know, to keep up with her, trying to keep it, and there's not a chance. And I started getting emotional. I said, "This is ridiculous. This is as slow as I've ever moved in my life as far as getting along." And it really told me that you know, if you get one of these things done, don't take it lightly. You get that rehab and stick with it and do it, because my God, an elderly man.
When the emotions welled up inside of you.
Yes. I fell down in the street and
did
cried.
Did it help when she pointed and laughed? Did you find that a mode of encouragement, or did you find that
sad? No, she'll tell me, can you go any faster? And I will growl at her when she says that. You know, if I was going faster, if I could go faster, I would go faster. But it's every, in the morning, for example. Uh-huh. Because when I got in my little fisty, I actually hurt both knees.
Oh.
So when I get up in the morning now, just based on scar tissue, what have you, calcium, whatever, if the first half mile is just, it's like, I was saying, I explained one time, I got so pissed at Carla when we're out on our walk in the afternoon, and I said, would you like me to explain what it is to you? Would you like me to explain what it is? This is what it is. Pain, 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 pain. And I was so pissed. But my feeling is that's going to go away if you stay with it. If you stay with it, that's the way it's going to happen.
It's even harder now because you didn't. I don't think you did the proper rehab, and most people don't.
Right off the bat. I guarantee you I didn't do the proper. I mean, the proper rehab is what gets NFL players onto a football field within 4 months.
Yes.
And I went down there. It's very, very painful.
You got to work it.
And you got to work through
it. My brother did the same. He's a doctor, and he didn't do the proper rehab. And he's going through exactly what you're going through right now.
We had this talk hard. Like Tuesday.
Yeah. But fortunately, I did enough where if you don't do it at the beginning stages, sometimes you're not going to get back.
Because
it's an issue of straightening your leg. Mm-hmm. That's the most painful thing of all, incidentally, when you get that. And I'm told to hang my leg off the coffee table and maybe put a weight on top of it so it straightens out.
Wow.
Because you'll notice people with a limp, they'll have that little hitch in their step, but my knee sucks.
Did you download Oscar's walking app?
No, but
you were really selling it yesterday.
It wasn't mine. No,
but you said people cheer.
I'm talking about walking.
But this cheering,
and this
app,
isn't walking from the car. This is walking that you should do. It was an awakening when I went to Boston.
The magic is that now that you've started walking, you bring in the mail every day,
every single day.
I love that.
I don't miss it.
It's amazing how quickly you atrophy. When I got out of the hospital, I went to the doctor and I said, "Doc, when can I start driving again?" He said, "You can start driving today. What you have to ask yourself is how far can you walk once you get there?"
Yeah, that's exactly true.
That's really true.
You just, when you don't use it, that which is used. RJ, can you give me the little thingy there? I got to turn it. I'm sweating my ass off in here. I don't know why. Maybe I'm getting all worked up.
It's just the stroke.
It's not the stroke. It's talking about everything.
The big one.
On the program today.
Stay seated.
Speaking of that, were you trying to segue there? Because you inadvertently did.
It was. He's on my mind. The man's on my mind.
He's on your mind. Dick Clark, very rarely do I enlighten Mr. Spiewak as to a celebrity death.
You had to have been on the TMZ website because you got it to me 6 minutes.
Got it on my Facebook page.
Wow.
Got it on my news feed. And the age of the internet, it's rapid. Massive heart attack. Rest in peace, Dick Clark. Buzz put a little picture of Dick Clark up there.
Interviewing Bobby Rydell.
That was Bobby Rydell.
Yeah, as it turns out.
That wasn't you?
Which didn't know.
I thought that was a personal photograph.
It was Bobby Elston.
I'm sitting right behind Bobby Rydell.
If you want, look, he might be saying it's this Bobby Rydell guy. If you want to go to Buzz's page, it's Michael Elston, right? Go to Michael Elston's Facebook page, and you'll see an incredible picture of Buzz sitting next to Dick Clark.
It may still be up. It may not. I put it up yesterday, but I may have changed my cover picture.
Can we use that? There's a picture of Buzz next to Dick Clark. Can we use that for our picture today?
It'll be in my photos.
Where was that?
It's not up on my cover. It was my cover photo, but now it's.
Buzz was a pop singer in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
In the 1950s.
So it's no longer the cover picture.
But where was that?
It was taken at American Bandstand. I mean, in Philadelphia.
I know of Dick Clark.
Yeah, clearly. It's a black and white photo of what Dick did during American Bandstand. That's go out and sit with the crowd and talk to the kids and sometimes interview celebrities out there. And in this case, it was, I don't care about Bobby Rydell, but it was just a great photo.
I actually thought of Oscar yesterday when I learned of Dick Clark's passing, and I said, Oscar is not going to realize how Dick Clark affected everything that we do from maybe 1958 forward. And it's kind of sad because he is that important.
Right.
Yeah. And I know you probably see him as a guy with great verticals, and he had a lot of money, and he produced a lot of stuff. But as far as broadcasting goes, I actually felt a little sad because you wouldn't feel the loss.
Here's the thing.
That's the one thing. This is that guy and Casey Kasem. Regardless of how old you were, they were so in your face growing up.
They were the guys. As DJs go, they were the DJs that made it all the way to the very tippy top.
As a baby DJ, I had Carson Daly. I know you can't compare the two. I'm just saying.
Right.
Carson Daly, there was Dick Clark.
Yes.
Yeah. And if you really wanted to know how you wanted to get in this business, and the way that I tried to figure it out, was I would look at these guys that were doing jobs that I wish to do one day.
Here's Buzz's record, by the way.
Bobby Rydell did Valeri?
Yes, everybody.
Right. And I would try to roadmap their careers.
Right.
Yeah. Every guy, that, including Regis Philbin.
Yep.
Let me see if I'm leaving anybody out here, because we lost two this year. You got Don Cornelius.
Yep.
Yes.
You got Dick Clark.
Watch out, Chuck McCann.
You got Wolfman Jack.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, yeah.
You got Casey Kasem.
Mm-hmm.
You got the Big Bopper.
That's it.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a small club. I might be leaving people out. They're legendary disc jockeys.
Of course.
Don't get me wrong. Yeah. They're legendary. But I'm talking about disc jockeys who truly
superstars
music like Wolfman.
Yeah. And the Big Bopper doesn't count. He was a disc jockey, but he was basically a pop star.
Then it would be Alan Freed.
Right. Alan Freed.
Right. Yeah. Alan Freed would be the
guy. But Alan Freed never really achieved the status
national
of the other
fame.
Big guys because he had so much negativity attached to him.
One of the great things about Dick Clark's television personality was Dick Clark was somebody who was, I don't want to say tried not to be controversial, but he was not a controversial guy.
No, never.
But he did a lot of things that were controversial.
But
he did a lot of things that broke African-American artists on the scene when they weren't getting any airplay anywhere else.
And he did it in such a very
classy,
polite, non-confrontational way. He made rock and roll acceptable to parents.
And non-confrontational and polite sometimes can come across as disingenuous. You never got that with Dick Clark. It always seemed like what you saw was what you got.
And I don't know where I heard this. It might have been a news coverage. Somebody was talking about all these ventures that Dick Clark had created.
Right.
The American Music Awards.
Yes.
Golden
Globes.
Golden Globes.
Pyramid.
Pyramid he took to $100,000.
He was great on that.
And someone said there were so many people in the business that used to be jealous of him. The New Year's Rockin' Eve that we all know about.
Yeah, there was a time when it was similar to, Ryan Seacrest, who's modeling his career after Dick Clark, where, Jesus, how many jobs does Dick Clark have?
Yes. Right. And I don't know who it was, but he came out, he said, that is one of the hardest working individuals that I've ever met in my life.
Absolutely.
People used to be jealous about him. People used to be upset that he got another job. People used to be, and he goes, but he was the hardest working guy I knew.
He was. Now, with that said, we've said a lot of nice things about Dick Clark, but I really wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't bring this up, because I think it's on a lot of people's minds. And this falls, a lot of celebrities fall into this category. Mm-hmm. Bob Hope would be included in this. There are, This is a man, I don't care whether it's ego or not, or just he's a fighter or whatever. My question is, and I'm not passing judgment here. I'm just asking this question. Should he have come back post-stroke when he was very difficult to understand? And I think really, that's up to him, really. It's his right to do it. But at the same time, the legacy, there are a lot of people who are going to remember Dick Clark as that slurring guy with a stroke that people made fun of. As a punchline.
Yeah.
And I think really, sometimes you can't tell an individual what to do, and we should be you know, evolved enough where we don't go, oh man, with funny voice. But at the same time, you're a professional broadcaster,
and he
was America's teenager, man.
We're not there yet, but I guess it's just hard to walk away from what you do and what you love.
For some people, it is.
Walter Cronkite thought that he had retired much too soon, and I think he did. And I think when you do that, when you do walk away, if that's what you're living for, then you die. And that's what these guys don't want to do.
Look at Andy Rooney.
Exactly, another one. But yeah, Hope should have left, and so should Dick.
Tom Brokaw. I love Tom Brokaw.
But he hasn't really retired. He just stopped doing the news. He's still working.
But
do you think he shouldn't be around anymore?
No, I think that, thank God they gave the chair to Brian Williams, because he was at the point where he was becoming a punchline.
Yeah, you're right. And he had the speech impediment to start with.
NBC had an era of hiring news people with speech impediments. Their news staff had speech impediments. It was amazing.
He's a great look, and I grew up with Tom Brokaw. Right. But I like seeing him like once every blue moon now, because I remember the guy.
Yeah.
I remember that guy, you know, the guy that I would go and sit down with my dad and watch the news, and he would give me the news of the world.
At the same time, we slam Ryan Seacrest on this show all the time, but I've heard what Ryan Seacrest has had to say. Mm. And you know what? I think that is admirable that Ryan Seacrest has paid homage to Dick Clark the way he has, I think it's been good for Dick
Clark. I'm glad you brought up Ryan Seacrest, because I think one of the reasons that Dick came back, and I'm just theorizing here, I was as guilty as anyone, and I... in a way, now regret making as much fun of him slurring as I did. I mean, it was great.
Yeah, well,
comedy
welcome
for the
to
show.
Your world, Rob. But, wait till you get to Judgment Day.
But let
with
me tell
what
you
you've
this:
done. When do you meet Sharla Nash?
I think one of the
up
reasons,
in heaven.
No, that's still funny.
And all the brave people you've made fun of.
But what I do think is one of the reasons I was able to make it okay in my head to make fun of him is that he seemed unstoppable. And
show
he
that
seemed
to
like,
Oscar. This is the picture of Buzz with
being
Dick Clark.
Interviewed by Dick Clark.
This is when Buzz was laughing at something Dick Clark had said.
Wow, he was so funny.
But you know what? He really did seem
Buzz.
He seemed like
I swear to God,
awesome.
I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah. He seemed like a stone wall, and it didn't seem like anything would stop him. So I feel bad now seeing that it did ultimately get him, because he was America's teenager. He was always there. But about speaking to Ryan Seacrest, I think one of the reasons Dick may have come back was it was part of his plan to groom Ryan Seacrest.
Right.
Yeah, well, hold on, Rob, but wait, groom what? I mean, you're basically going, you're counting down, going, welcome Times Square, it's a beautiful, as a broadcaster, Rob, a chimpanzee could do that. Seriously. Now listen, where Dick Clark's work ethic
back
comes
to Sharla Nash with you.
No, really, where Dick Clark's work ethic comes in is
what he
you
did
know, the production company and how
yeah,
and doing
right.
these shows and being in 15 different places.
But I do think
the actual grooming.
I think he mentored him.
I think he maybe gave him general career advice.
Perhaps grooming is not the right word. Maybe mentor is better. But the fact is, yeah, you know what? Ryan Seacrest is a kid, basically, in the grand scheme, and he's doing what Dick Clark is doing. He owns things.
That's my Bulgarian carpenter.
Listen, radio show.
Of course he stopped. And that's the way it'll go for the rest of the show.
But let's try it again.
No, my point is that, whatever the reasons he came back, those are his reasons.
Right.
That's fine. I don't agree with the judgment call because I think that at that point, it's like an athlete. You know, your fans want to remember you at the top of your game. And I think they talk about athletes retiring at the right time.
Michael Jordan shouldn't have come back.
Michael Jordan should not have come back.
I don't know.
There are
no
a lot
one
of guys...
has ever regretted playing for the Wizards. Ever. Ever. But I don't think Dick Clark will be remembered for slurring.
He will by young people.
Yeah.
I think that
100%.
Oh, now wait a minute. God damn.
Dick, Jesus Christ.
Is this a f***ing game?
Do you think it's audible to our...
Probably
I hope
not.
It is.
Probably not.
You seem like idiots.
Yeah, it's like a sledgehammer in the side of the house.
They're repairing the side... the rotted out side porch of my home.
Oh, dear.
Of my 1903 money pit. Where I think someday the tub is going to fall through the floor and I'm going to stand over and go...
If you're a kid and you don't know any better, you'll think that that guy had been like that forever.
100%, Rob. That's my issue with that. Now, look, at the same time, I think that
in the
if you look
scheme,
at it like, for people,
okay.
if people that have issues, no, he is for the. I'm talking about they talk. If they're going to talk about multi generations, you have to remember what the last generation thought of Dick Clark, and the last generation only saw Dick Clark when he was coming out and going 35, 32. That's the problem, and I'm saying at the same time. I think that it showed people that have had that situation that maybe they should fight on, and they can go. So that was a good thing.
Yeah,
so it's a tough call to make.
It is. Uh-huh. It is. And only time will tell. Love when
Oscar was smiling, and like his mic cord was right where his teeth were, so it looked like his teeth had been blacked out.
I do love when he brings out his mimicry skills.
So rest in peace, Dick Clark. Yeah. And we love it when people die in this country. Do we go absolutely nuts?
You know what we don't do, Mike, is we never laugh when people die.
Hey, where's Mark? Hey, Mark!
Ooh.
Mark, come here for a second. Because Mark put it up on his page. And Mark's a guy in his 30s. I'm curious why Mark put it up there.
He's basically 40.
This is when I found out the Sun Porch was rotted. This is how I left. Tom Hanks.
That money pit.
Yeah. That's
is that when the tub falls through the
floor? The tub falls through the floor.
Yeah. Probably. You can look up and see it through the ceiling. All the way through.
In
the
a
ceiling.
Crappy movie.
Yeah, because, really bad.
Because anything where Shelley Long was even remotely involved was crap. Yeah. That was one of the funniest scenes I've ever seen. You put a picture of Dick Clark on your page. Were you influenced? What was the reason? Because you're a young guy.
No, absolutely. I mean, I'm only a couple years younger than Rob.
It just seems like Rob's 20 years
younger than me.
Yeah, a couple of years, like 20.
No.
It feels like 20.
Psychographically. Well, he's also aged better than Rob.
Well, that's true.
Rob looks great. He's lost
so
all
has
the weight.
A bagel.
So why Dick Clark? You were into it?
Got the half-life of a cupcake.
Growing up, I watched him on New Year's Eve. You know, if my parents would go out for New Year's Eve, and I would sit and watch him on
as
TV. And the game shows, Password or Pyramid.
Pyramid, I love
it. So you were affected by it?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, I was curious. Yeah. See, it is multi-generational.
I was made sadder by it than I thought I would be. Especially when I started to see all the stuff that he touched.
I was surprised by it. I kind of was like, Dick Clark, because I think we've all been guilty of poking a little fun over the years.
Oh, sure.
And then you go, hey, you know, he really was the guy with the bandstand, and he was kind of a regular thing. God knows I watched him
you
growing up.
You can't take
up.
That
and,
away
I mean,
from him.
Really, right. I do think it boils down to the fact, did you ever think of a time that there wouldn't be a Dick Clark? He was always there.
Well, so young, 6 years ago.
Young yeah, right.
True.
Yeah,
yeah. But yet he came back.
He did.
He showed you.
Sort of.
Yeah,
sort
Mike.
Of part way.
Yeah.
Someone at the office blew my mind yesterday when they were, before this news broke about Dick Clark, they said that and we were talking about the hologram here on the show of Tupac.
Yes, right.
He said, with all these celebrities dying, do you think they're going to go into a studio and record certain performances or record certain addresses that they want to give to their public so their legacy can live on?
That's a great idea. I think that's an absolutely terrific
idea.
Presidents.
And to the other point, if there was
hope it's a little better than that. Yeah. Hope it's a little better than the Hall of Presidents.
Big mechanical Barbara Walters.
If there's an artist that just wants to retire and leave like a catalog of performances and they want to be remembered young, are they going to do that as well? Are there artists today thinking about that with this new technology?
I wish they had thought ahead like that. You know, there is precious little great audio footage of Elvis performing live.
Yeah.
And it's so cheap and easy to record. Now, why didn't they record every concert?
Right.
You know, and they never thought to. They never thought there'd be an appetite.
As somebody whose favorite performer in the world has passed on, I thank God for YouTube. I thank God for being able to go back and see performances that I'd never seen.
Buddy Rich!
Not Buddy Guy.
And I
go back
on purpose.
But I mean, we don't need elaborate technology as long as we preserve the video.
Just capture it.
Right.
Capture it.
Just capture it.
And it seems a shame, like there was, 10 years of The Tonight Show that was erased?
That's
because they thought they needed the tape.
That's because within that 10 years, you had not necessarily Johnny himself, but you had moments on that show because it was so important to performers in the United States to perform well on that show. You had, I'm blown away.
I'm sure
the 10 years got erased.
Yeah, but think they saved almost $80 in tape.
Yeah, and that's exactly what
did.
That's
what they wanted to regenerate.
They wanted to regenerate
or recycle the tape.
Stupid sons of bitches.
But Mike, to me, I think I'm more affected now by Dick Clark because of his legacy. The fact that here's a guy that was so business savvy and in the entertainment industry, and I look at that and I just think, you know, God, that That's amazing. That's something that I would love to be sometime, is the guy who's, you know, producing all these different shows.
And really able to do it without ever being really known as a dick.
Right.
Which
right.
is so
always the nice
rare.
Guy. Yeah. Yeah.
He was a disc jockey. He's a disc jockey that made real, real good.
Yeah,
and
he sure
you
did.
Know what? That's where we've all started, and I think we feel that.
Speaking of dicks, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we got to dive into another celebrity. He's at it again, ladies and gentlemen. Mel Gibson.
Good stuff.
Yes, Mel Gibson has done it again. We've got audio tape of it, and we'll let you decide right after this.
From dusk till dawn, you don't need experience to turn me out.
Welcome back to our second segment brought to you by MC Ginsburg. MC Ginsburg is one-of-a-kind jewelry. You forge the idea, they forge the materials. I got to remember if I talked to Carla about getting my father's captain's bars.
I remember
out to this guy.
He said it to her, but she couldn't hear you because she was so far ahead of you walking.
Don't buy.
Remember that?
Mass-produced stuff. If you contact MC Ginsburg for him, her, it, or you, mcginsburg.com, or click their ad on our page.
Do
MC
it.
Ginsburg builds your imagination.
Yeah.
Welcome back to the show. Good luck to my Caps tonight.
Yeah.
It's game four.
Do you care to issue a prediction?
Yeah, they're going to lose bad.
Really?
That's
you
what
don't
I'm
think
saying.
It's going to go to seven games so they can make more money?
My new thing. Yeah, right. They do it for that reason. That doesn't work in the NHL.
Another double overtime game is what
they
need. Oh,
my God.
Jeez.
Are you going to wherever you're going, or are you going to be around tonight?
No, I've got to leave at around 11. So as soon as the game's over, I'm out of here.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So you can't come over. And I need somebody.
I commiserate.
I'm going to have to go somewhere.
Got some new brews there.
Jimmy's.
Yeah, but I just don't want to go to a bar on a Thursday
night.
Oh,
yeah.
The thing is, sometimes...
You don't want to be that guy?
I last night suffered in silence. I turned on the Philadelphia-Pittsburgh game because I don't care for either city,
exactly.
Sports-wise.
That's why you tune in.
But Pittsburgh, as far as hockey, is more the Washington Capitals' rival. So I was liking the idea of them perhaps getting eliminated in four by Philadelphia. And it was something like 10-3. It was an amazing hockey game.
It was like a football score.
There's my Bulgarian carpenter. Listen.
Yeah, he is.
Here we go. Of course, that stops.
Foreign sledgehammer.
Is that a rule?
It's hilarious how that works.
Is that?
I don't want my hammer to
They're
be on the air.
They're listening to the show, Mike. They know that we're listening, so
they
stop.
No such thing, RJ.
He's listening.
It's literally happening every time we talk or make noise, and then it's not. Let's just be quiet for 30 seconds. Let's see if we get another thump. That's not going to work. Forget it. All right, I'm not going to do
He's
that.
Listening on our sister website, MikeOMaraShow.bu,
with a 30-second delay.
Exactly. So anyway, Caps tonight against the Bruins, and they're down 2-1. We'll see what happens with that. I love it. I love the playoff hockey, but I'm finding myself a little frustrated because my lady goes into the kitchen or into the little in front of the fireplace, drinks wine, and talks to her mom, and I'm there alone, and I'm needing to commiserate with some of my boys.
What about your beluga?
My beluga's
What
fine.
About what about your little dogs?
Can you mean they watch... beluga's name is Goiter now.
What about that swell dog?
That swell little pug.
Why don't you watch
Did
hockey
you see
with
Pug Life, the video of Pug Life?
No.
Where they've got all the pugs dressed up as rappers.
There we go. Oh, he's teaching that. Teaching that deck what's what.
Sounds like a new Flo Rida record.
It's going to be a very solid porch.
It is.
Anyway, so really looking forward
to
it.
Did the pugs wear bling?
They wore ski caps, Yankee ski caps, and they wore bling.
Dogs and clothes are funny.
Oh, it's great.
Always funny.
It's fantastic. RJ, I don't want him to stop, but it's getting to be crazy. It's distracting me from the show. We will persevere.
Okay,
I don't believe people should stop.
He's building your home.
Yeah, you got two guys out there working on it. We don't want to stop him.
Mel Gibson.
Yes.
He did it again.
Don't give him a hammer.
This is, what's that, Esterhaus? Is that the name
Joe
of the guy?
Joe Esterhaus, a famous screenwriter. And he was collaborating with him on the story of Hanukkah. I believe the movie is called The Maccabees.
Now, Mel Gibson, in an attempt to, I guess, clean up his image, is making a movie about the Jews.
Yeah.
And at the same time, Esterhaus, in this letter that he sent about what Mel did, is saying that Mel's as anti-Semitic as ever.
Well, he took a meeting with Esterhaus in Costa Rica.
Where Mel has a home.
And also, the thing that really flipped out Esterhaus was that Mel was talking to Esterhaus's son about systematical, very violent erotic things, if memory serves. It was really inappropriate conversation to be having with a 15-year-old, and that's the thing that Joe Esterhaus hated the most. But the thing that
sizzles, was he doing this before the rant?
During the stay. Now, he was down for a week.
Now, I did not read the entire article about this. I just listened to the tape this morning, and the tape to me does not necessarily... the audio is not good enough. I like to hear you with it sweetened a little bit and see what it sounds like. But
you can
corroborate a lot of what Esterhaus was saying.
You can make out enough. And what you need to know from the tape is, really, do you ever get to a point in a business meeting when you need to take this tone? Mm-hmm. I mean, what he's saying, he could be telling this guy he has a nice tie. But if you're yelling it like this, there's obviously issues at play.
Intimidating.
This is Mel Gibson recorded at his home in Costa Rica.
Why do I have
what he just said is, why don't I have a first draft of the script of the Maccabees? Obviously, Jesus, this guy missed Christ. His deadline. Let's take it again from the top so you know what he's saying.
Why don't I have a first draft of the Maccabees? What the f*** have you been doing? I'll type it. I got work. You're getting paid. I'm not yet.
Now, about this point, he starts talking to other house guests because I think someone indicates that they're hungry. So that's what goes on next.
Hurry up, who wants to eat? Who the wants to eat? Go have something to eat. Hooray!
Hooray, Mike. Who wants to eat? Hooray.
He's fine.
Boy.
This makes me feel so much better about Mel, because I thought he was just like just being a complete dick when he was yelling at his wife.
Right.
When he was saying, you can't go hot tub until you do this to me.
Right. And I think that anybody who's ever had any kind of domestic issues, Oscar and I will cop to it.
Yeah.
You know, you say mean things to hurt. And, you know, I think we've all been
yeah.
there. You know, but the fact is, you know, this is just the guy.
I think this is just who he is.
Yeah.
And this is probably, this could be the result of anything. This could be a chemical imbalance. This could be something that's
you know what he is.
He's got a mental disorder.
He could have a mental disorder.
He's a hothead.
Hold on. He could have a little mental disorder, and then you get into the Hollywood machine. Any movie star is going to have your ass kissed summarily. Right. I mean, through your entire life. It's like professional athletes.
A little bit like Martin Riggs.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of his, what is it, the Lethal Weapon character in there.
Bipolar.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's really scary when you hear it. And here's where I pulled off of it. You can get mad a lot, but to get mad in front of house guests and kids, you know, that's tough. The anger manifests itself when I've had a room full of house guests. I normally, you know, it's like, okay, I'll see you later. And, you know, you go off with your significant other and go, I'm so sick of this. I cannot stand this. Yeah, yeah. And that's embarrassing enough. But if you just have no filter, you know, you might go, you're all full of crap. Go to hell and stuff like that. Right. I've certainly had enough, you know, booze where I've yelled at people.
Unless,
before.
Mike, no it filter. Happens to be dinner time.
Who wants to eat? Who the go have something to eat. Hooray!
I love when he says hooray.
Maybe he was on a fast and he just ended.
It's weird. It truly, truly is weird.
He just got off steady trim.
he really wanted to eat.
Who wants to eat? Who the f- wants to eat? Go have something to eat.
I've heard those first 2 days are doozies.
Screenwriter
Much
Joe
better on the fourth day.
Screenwriter Joe Esterhaus accused Mel Gibson of engaging in anti-Semitic, sexist, and hate-filled speech in an explosive 9-page letter. Now, that's the letter, which
that
is more
guy, look,
damning.
Esterhaus sucks anyways because you know what you're getting into.
Yes.
Like, what are you going to – you're not going to go to a guy like Mel Gibson when you're going for the effing paycheck, clearly.
Yeah.
And if you really think this guy's such a swell guy – And you're so upset about how he's churned, you know what he's like already. Yeah. You've probably dealt with him.
Yeah. Right.
You know, and it's publicized.
And also, when you see Esterhaus interviewed, he did a pretty good one on the Today Show last week. He looks kind of like, well, I'm not so sure I wanted to get into it. He knew exactly what he was doing.
He's a snake.
Yeah.
And, you know, it says, he writes, the bottom line is it shows me how he badly needs help. My interest isn't to damage him with this tape.
No.
That's BS.
Oh, you are so full of crap. If there's any part of you that is decent as a human being and you've had a friendship with this guy, you're going to do this in a different way than put it out.
What he should say is, I want to help Mel, and by the way, I'm available for hire. That's E-S-T-Z-E-R.
He says, my interest isn't to damage him with this tape, but to prevent damage being done to others, starting with Jews.
Oh.
You know, sometimes when somebody's behavior is bad, but the guy that rats you out, it's to me, worse. Is almost
even
worse.
Yeah. It's so transparent. He's basically saying, hey, everybody else, I'm on your side.
That's right. I'm not him.
Come hire me.
Now, here's the part where I have to agree with him. As much of a dick as he is, I strongly believe that unless he seeks and receives some kind of psychiatric help, someone is going to get hurt. I believe that. Mm-hmm. I think we've heard enough of Mel and the ranting of Mel that's true. At the same time, it's like this guy's a weasel, but Mel's a dick too. It's a sad situation.
But
there it is again. And
but
it's
who wants
there.
To eat? Hooray.
And, you know, this is the first time in July 2010, we heard the voicemails that he left on what's her name? Oksana Grigorieva.
Hey, nice.
Mel being Mel.
That's sea dumpster.
He is the Meliest, isn't he?
Yeah.
So it's frustrated, and that's Mel. So we'll deal with that. Rob, what do you think? I wanted to ask you this specifically. What do you think
that's
of
Mel?
Oh, my God, we got to take a break.
Yeah.
When Vince Vaughn as the Rockford Files guy, what do you think?
I hate it.
Yeah,
I like Vince Vaughn.
Wrong kind of character.
But it's the wrong thing. They're going to try and make it snarky, and that's really not what Rockford's about. Rockford's a perfect TV show. It exists perfectly in its own time zone.
Is that a TV show?
Yeah, it was a TV show.
No, but is it going to be a movie?
It's going to be a movie with Vince Vaughn.
Hollywood. Here's Hollywood again. Wouldn't know an original idea if it
and,
bit him in
and
the
Vince
ass.
And Vince Vaughn also, he's stepped in this bear trap before. Do you remember when they remade Psycho shot for shot?
Right.
I mean, they just remade it shot for shot.
Horrible.
And made him as Norman Bates. Mm-hmm. And it was a disaster.
Right.
Somehow he came out of that smelling like a rose.
Right.
And he's going to do this again. He's going to touch another beloved franchise.
I actually like Vince Vaughn, but not
too.
In either of these roles that we're talking about.
So I don't think it's a good
and
idea.
And I want to thank a Facebook listener that hit me to the name of the lady on Game of Thrones.
Mm-hmm.
Game of Thrones.
Yeah,
I love that show.
The queen.
Her name is Natalie Dormer.
I got to catch up.
And I am bringing a picture
That's the French verb.
Her.
You know, that's the French verb meaning to sleep.
Yes, she is.
Dormir.
And there's a picture of Natalie Dormer right here. Dormir.
Both romantic. Romance.
I will show you boys a picture of her. And this is.
There are many similarities.
I want to get a proper
I saw it again last night. She has an amazing rack.
She is the Game of Thrones.
Yeah,
it's a perky little rack.
Yeah,
you know?
It's spectacular.
This would be Natalie Dormer, fellas.
Can you hold
Very
up a little
nice.
Higher?
This would be Natalie Dormer.
Hey, she's not so shabby.
Yeah. Right.
Nice.
Very nice.
And then finally, before we go to break, I received another Facebook message because when I yell at Buzz, it lasts for like a month. And people continue to give me the little buzzings.
Continue
the little buzzlings, as I like to call
them. The buzzlings, yeah.
The little buzzlings. And I got one from a lady that she said it was about the... The angle thing where you stand in the back of a pickup truck.
Right.
And start hey, Mike, not to be a C, you know, and I just
too
like,
late.
It's too late.
Bring it on. You are. That comes
like
from Stacy. Stacy writes, not to be a C, but it's General Services. Oh, no, this is another one. It's General Services Administration, not Government Services Administration. So that was her.
Yeah.
That was my first correction.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'm getting a lot of corrections lately. But there was another one about the back of the.
For myself.
Wait a minute. Let me see. You guys kick ass. Here we go.
Yes.
This comes from Rick Daniel, who is not a friend of mine.
Hi.
And never will
Sounds
be.
Sounds like a DJ.
Rick Daniel.
Based on three words. Buzz was right. Don't like that.
Yeah.
A small change in elevation will create large field of view. The closer the obstruction, the larger the view increases for the same change in elevation.
It's all physics, Mike. All physics.
No, it's geometry, RJ.
Yeah, geometry.
It's geometry, smart ass.
Trajectory.
But thanks for piling on, RJ. I appreciate that too tight shirt. It's a simple geometry problem. Want the numbers. You know, it's right. Lose all that weight and then buy the size extra small shirt. That's a good
well,
idea.
Well, he's going to shrink into
it.
It's
the cut. Thanks, the cut.
Very good. It's a simple geometry problem. Want the numbers? That was the last part. Want the numbers?
Mike,
no, Rick, you want to lick that little space behind between my ball sack?
So you don't want the numbers?
No, I don't.
Okay, well, then
let
we'll
me see
pass.
If he's a friend of mine.
Do you go let back to these messages? I did some defending of you, by
Respond
the way.
Respond to friend requests there. I'm making him a friend right now after that.
So you can, what, you're going to friend him and then defriend him?
I'm confirming his friendship.
Because you know what I
Rick
told
Daniel, there he is with a picture of a kitty cat.
Oh,
little picture,
that's nice.
Picture of a kitty cat on his Facebook.
You're
page.
Like a magic eight ball. I can't figure you out. I just can't figure you out.
Here's
you
the
know
magic.
What? People, brothers fight. Okay,
yes.
We fight, mm-hmm. And you know what? We're still here, so
that's
it's
right.
Cool. So relax.
Shut up, Rob. All right, we're gonna take a break. When we come back, it's the Magic Audio Vault. Right
here. Magic eight ball vault.
Welcome back to MikeOMaraShow.com, everybody. Yes, sir, Dick Clark. Good guy. R.I.P. Safe home. Dick Clark.
Richard Wagstaff Clark.
The Magic Audio Vault is brought to you by Netflix. Join today. Anyway, let's get right to it.
Thank you so much.
The Magic Audio Vault, take it away, Rob.
Yeah, we talked about the passing of Dick Clark. As we know, we lost him yesterday at age 83.
Live from Philadelphia, it's time for America's favorite dance party, American Bandstand. And now, here's the star of our show, Dick Clark.
I had an old diary dated 1938, which would make me somewhere between 8 and 9 years old at the time. And through the diary, it said, I listened to the radio. So obviously I had the radio on my mind.
Happy New Year's Rockin' Eve!
My first job was in a mail room in a radio station that my father managed at the time. So it was, nepotism personified.
This one's called Rock Around the Clock. Bill Haley.
1, 2, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, rock. 5, 6, 7 o'clock.
The wonderful chronology of American Bandstand, it's like 40 years of American life. Everybody grew up with it. It's phenomenal. And it swept the country. It could never happen again. I was and still am the luckiest man you'll ever meet. I was doing a job I love. Didn't get any better than that.
What's pretty cool about Bandstand, if you think about it, the first record he played on Bandstand was A Whole Lot of Shaking Going On by Jerry Lee Lewis.
Wow.
Just to put it in context, he also had Madonna on the show.
Yeah.
He had Public Image Limited on the show. You know, he had the Talking Heads on the show and everyone in between.
Yeah.
They say the only acts he never had on the show were the big acts were Elvis, the Stones, and the Beatles, but he had a phoner with Elvis, and that's pretty cool.
And then I really think it's important to point out the fact that we had the great award shows, which the country became really in love with, and the Golden Globes, now arguably the best award show that's on television because people have the most fun and everybody shows up.
He's my favorite game show host of all time. I love the way he conducted himself and the show, the game, on Pyramid.
I would say, as a game show host,
pretty close to perfection
as
far as the right amount of wit, the right amount of smarts, and the right amount of interaction with celebrities.
He had a great job of
suggesting possible answers that could have been given that didn't insult the contestants. You might have said this, you might have.
He didn't look like a dick like Trebek, and Trebek can't do it.
Trebek can't help himself.
Exactly.
Ryan Seacrest said something really nice at the front. I don't know if anyone in this room watches Idol anymore, but Ryan Seacrest said something very nice at the front of Idol last night.
Now, we can't begin tonight's show without acknowledging the passing of a television pioneer and my dear friend, Dick Clark. Without Dick, a show like this would not exist. He will be missed greatly. Our thoughts and our prayers go out to his family. I know that he's in a better place saying, hey, let's get on with the show, okay? You got it, boss.
Businessman.
But can I say one thing?
Yeah.
Is there always somebody in an audience that has to go, woo!
Yes. Oh, yeah, it's the same guy that clapped for taxes on the Jimmy Kimmel Show.
They deserve a Pesci pen in the neck.
They do.
They truly, truly do. Woo?
Well, that is people making it about themselves.
Yep, absolutely.
It's never a moment of reverence.
That's
right,
true.
Exactly.
On Bandstand, here's clips of Dick Clark with pretty good lineup here. Michael Jackson, Madonna, and Stevie Wonder.
Ladies and gentlemen, please greet for their first visit. The Jackson Five. How many brothers and sisters do you have?
I have 3 sisters and 6 brothers.
How come there are no girls in this act?
Well, most of our girls, they get kind of shy, you know.
Are you shy?
No.
What do you hope will happen, not only in 1984, but for the rest of your professional life? What are your dreams? What's left?
To rule the world.
You started to tell me before how long ago it was that you played this instrument. How old were you when you first picked one up?
Who's this?
I was actually 4 when I started playing, and the first song I played was 3 Blind Mice.
I always thought it was odd that Stevie's first song was 3 Blind Mice.
You did, right. Did you?
Never knew why.
Okay.
I don't get it.
Dick Clark, of course, New Year's Rockin'
Eve. What a dick.
He is a dick. See, that's his dictum that comes through when he's doing a nice little tribute.
You see, I don't know. If
Stevie Wonder died tomorrow, he'd be all nice about Stevie. But now while he's alive, we can still make fun of his blindness.
Just pointing out that it's ironic, that's all.
Well, that's probably why he played that song.
You think?
Because they probably gave him that song because it was about blind mice. Yes.
And he was
probably why You didn't think beyond that, did you?
Well, then they're the cruel ones.
You just thought, boy, that's really stupid. Mrs. Wonder was probably very sweet.
The Widow Wonder.
What he thought was is there some funny uncle that said, you know what, we're going to give him three blind mice.
Yeah, just
and
go
he's
off,
not going to know the
drink
joke.
Drink bourbon and laugh our asses off.
Dick Clark also hosted New Year's Rockin' Eve. This is the clip of him counting down from 1999 into 2000.
Okay.
This is one of the big ones. I remember this.
Happy New Year early. In 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Happy 2000.
And you know, really.
God, I wish he hadn't had that stroke. Yeah. I hate to say that, but boy. You know, it's unfair. Life is cruel. We all know that.
Random.
And now that I'm looking back on his legacy, it's just a shame that anybody has to remember.
And
that,
as a businessman, keep in mind, he really did turn 10 seconds into 3 hours of television.
Oh, yeah.
He was able to sell, and we were there every year.
He made it what it was. I mean, Times Square was a big deal before Dick Clark.
Oh, yeah.
But it was a super humongous deal after Dick Clark.
Danny Bonaducci hosted that bad knockoff to The View that Dick Clark produced for like 10 episodes.
Well, let me tell you something. I've always said that our show is a male version of The View.
Yes, but ours is entertaining.
The problem with what Dick did with that, and that was one of his serious missteps, is you don't bring on talking heads that don't have any brains. Like for example, you know, Bonaducci's a DJ. He could get away with the ad-libbing, but he was too over the top with his And then you had Mario Lopez.
Exactly.
I mean, I was looking at that.
Empty.
What the hell is wrong? Bring on some people that have a little gravitas.
I agree.
Do you know that Mario Lopez does a night show, like a DJ night show
in
L.A. now?
Does he really?
Yes.
Like an overnight show?
No, like evenings. Like.
And I bet it's lots of music.
Like, and it's a hot AC channel, but it's L.A.
It's great.
Right.
It's L.A., and he's on it.
Very happy.
The thing about it is I thought that cast that he had was just terrible.
Yeah. So good idea, badly
enacted. Yeah, I mean, when you look at The View, and The View, you can have you know your holes in the lineup, but you gotta have your anchors.
Yeah, you're right.
And for example, you got Barbara Walters, who is just a stellar journalist. Really has interviewed
credibility.
She's interviewed heads of state all her life, and then you bring in Whoopi Goldberg,
Vieira,
who is one of the most incredible spontaneous
Vieira
performers.
Was great too in their
she was okay, and she's a natural broadcaster.
Yep, she's smart.
But you know with The View, I always was like, man, if they just cast that in a better way.
Yeah.
You throw on a stand-up comedian like a Joy Behar, male version of Joy Behar. You know, you bring on somebody like a Louis C.K. or something like that.
I thought
like
Joy Behar was a male version of Joy Behar.
But that one missed.
Anyway, this is a story that Danny Bonaducci had about Dick Clark that I found fascinating.
I looked at him one day and I said, hey, Dick, can I ask you something? And he said, sure. And I said, I have heard for the last 10 years that you're a billionaire. Are you a real live billionaire? And he sat and he thought for a minute and he said, if I'm not, I'm really close. And he's being serious. He wasn't ashamed of it. Like I said, he's a patriot. We were a capitalist country. But I couldn't believe he answered me.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Cool. And that's a Dick Clark answer. Yeah.
Do you remember the show Police Squad?
Yeah.
It was before the Naked Gun movies. There was a TV show that inspired it.
With Leslie Nielsen.
Yeah, and
hilarious.
Dick Clark did a great cameo that I pulled for you.
Really?
Do you remember there was a guy, he was a shoeshine boy named Johnny, and he was where they'd go to get information, and he knew about everything. So after Frank Drebin would tip him and get the information about the drug drop, Dick Clark comes in and sits down to get a shoeshine, and this is the question he asked Johnny. Really, Dick Clark, 1981, I think.
Johnny, some kids on the show yesterday mentioned a new kind of music, ska. You know anything about it?
How should I know?
Slips him a money.
Yep.
Nothing but a modern offshoot of reggae. Updated white rock influences. Definitely upbeat. They've never become really popular because even though they've made the backbeat more conventional, it's still too exotic for mass acceptance.
Johnny, I need some more of that secret formula youth cream.
And he slips him another $20. But anyway,
that's
great
funny.
Podcaster, and it made me very sad to see him pass away.
Yeah,
safe home,
bad.
Dick Clark.
There we go.
I want to close with Conan O'Brien and his comment on the prostitution scandal, which is still growing hair.
Okay. Mitt Romney said Secret Service personnel involved in the scandal should be fired for putting playtime ahead of the nation.
Yeah. So I think the real story here is that Mitt Romney describes prostitutes and cocaine as playtime. He's cooler than I thought. Oh, you mean playtime.
And that, Mike, that is your magic audio ball.
That's a funny clip. Awesome. We will take a break, come back with Buzz and News right after this. We're going hopping. Welcome back to MikeO'Mara Show.com. Hey, you can vote for us on iTunes.
Do it.
Are they still able to do that?
Yeah.
Can we put a link up on our webpage to that?
I think it's there. Yeah.
Can we get it everywhere? Is it everywhere?
We shall spread it.
How does it, work,
then.
Oscar? They just click on us and vote for us, or what?
Go on any of our Facebook pages. It's on the front page.
Very good.
Yeah.
You'll have to write us in a week.
Yeah, yeah. It ends in a week.
How come we have to be written in, but people like Joe Rogan and Adam Carolla don't have to get written in?
This is the thing.
Bastards.
We're late to the party, but it's just to be featured, and we've been featured dozens of times.
We didn't slip money to the shoeshine boy.
It's not that. I mean, look, to be fair, it'd be nice to win. It's not that great.
Now that takes care of that.
That sort of prepares us for disappointment.
Go ahead and do it anyway.
Let's bring in Buzz Burbank with the news. I just see any kind of competition in my hyper-competitiveness. Yeah, goes, I want to win.
Win.
Until you read the fine print.
Yeah, the fine print.
You're like, featured? That happened last week.
Exactly. All right, take it away, Buzz.
Thank you, Mike. We're brought to you today by the Institute for Liberty's Fan Freedom Project.
Oh, I'm sorry. Before you start with that, I did want to mention you're going to be at where?
Thank you so much. Moondoggies this Saturday.
Saturday, 5 p.m. is going to be at Moondoggies
in Pacific Beach in San Diego.
Pacific Beach, San Diego. What time are you going to be there?
5 p.m.
5 p.m. Go out and see Oscar. Let's fill that room with San Diego.
No matter where you are in the Southwest, go to San Diego to see Oscar.
All right. Now,
max out that credit card.
That's right. Now the news.
We were talking about the Fan Freedom Project. Your right to buy, sell, or give away tickets to concerts and sporting events is under attack. The big ticket companies are already putting restrictions on these tickets, which means they cannot even be given away. Protect your rights. Visit fanfreedom.org today. Fan Freedom is a partner of the Institute for Liberty. Now, when a president's running for re-election, that's not a good time for the federal government to go spinning out of control. And yet, there it is, scandals in the military, the Secret Service, and the GSA. Let's start with the most immediate waste of your tax dollars, the lavish spending of the General Services Administration in the middle of a recession. Senators in both parties are calling for a total house cleaning of this agency that does the purchasing for the federal government.
That'll help. Let's call for a total house cleaning.
Yeah, thank you very much. Total house cleaning.
I think it was a bad idea. Give the governor harumph.
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 Most of the senators realize that this corruption's part of the culture at the GSA and goes back for decades, well before this administration. The recent report about spending nearly $1 million on a conference in Las Vegas recently is apparently just the tip of the iceberg. There have been lots of other junkets, and they all add up.
Just the tip.
And then...
Hey, can I just say one thing?
Sure.
When the Republicans start shouting socialism, it's things like this that legitimize their argument. When you see the corruption that is involved in government. And if government becomes too big and becomes too much of a spider, with a, or an octopus, I should say, with its tentacles everywhere... This type of corruption gets, you know, gets systemic within within these organizations, and I hate to see it. I really do. This is big government gone bad.
Do you think? I don't know if the word is the word corruption or irresponsibility.
It's both. And I think
they walk hand in hand.
You know, you've got all this budget, and you know nobody's going to check you on it, and you're sitting there at the
and you
got
to spend it if you want it again.
Goddamn right, you're sitting there, and this is where you know this is where you need oversight. You need people that are responsible, that are vetted.
Who care.
That are not, who give a rat's ass.
I know who could do it.
Who's that?
Mario Lopez.
There it is. Get him out of his DJ show. Nah.
And then there are the photos from 2 years ago that just surfaced this week from American soldiers laughing at the blown off legs of an insurgent in Afghanistan. When those pictures finally do circulate throughout that backward country, they will set back any progress our good soldiers have made. It probably will even endanger their lives.
I mean, this is the Secret Service. This is the photo of the leg.
Yeah.
This is the sergeant going out and massacring the Afghanis. This is urinating on the dead bodies. Right. Listen, folks. What's happened? I mean, we have to have the higher standard here.
Yeah, please.
And, you know, this is military leadership in a lot of cases.
Exactly.
Too.
The commanders are now being told to rein in these guys.
I mean, you've got to get guys that are paying attention to it. And, you know, somebody wrote me on Facebook that, you know, as far as he's been in the military for multiple years, you know, one of the first things you know, when you get your base overseas is you want to know, you know, where's the booze and where are the hookers?
Right.
And unfortunately, that's the culture. And I mean, you know, you want to know where many, houses of prostitution are, or many strip joints are in America, you know, go to the towns where the military bases are located.
Or the Secret Service.
Ask Mario Lopez.
And you know what the fact is? As long as there's been war, you've gotten,
ugliness.
The GIs that want to go get, they're not polished before they go off to war. But at the same time, that's not posing with, the legs.
Yeah.
And, it is war. It's horrible. But we have to do a better job of training our military on you're going to lose. This is bad for the war effort. You're doing, remember back in World War II.
They're kids, we ramp them up, and then we wonder how this happened.
Exactly. Yeah. You can't do that. I mean, but I think it's been done in Vietnam. It's been done in World War II.
Every war.
But now, unfortunately,
they need to be made aware of the consequences.
It's a small planet.
So far reaching.
Especially with those phones.
You are sitting there, you're leaking that photograph, and what's happening is you are handing the enemy. And our enemy are the Taliban and Al-Qaeda, and you're handing them a weapon.
Yeah. Absolutely.
It's terrible.
More powerful than any pistol.
The government tried to keep the pictures from being published, asking the LA Times not to publish them at all. The Times said it had a duty to its readers and published them anyway, although it did wait 72 hours for the Pentagon to put in place more security for our troops who are on the ground there.
Duty.
And then there's the Secret Service.
That's a tough call, too. Yeah. I as a person that... had lots of ethical discussions about journalism and what you should do. I don't know. I mean, that just, it almost makes me long for back in the day, back in the Kennedy administration, that day where for the good of the country, I think you don't release those.
A difference between censorship and protection.
Yeah.
Again, it gets into responsibility. See both sides.
The very fact that the LA Times waited so that they could enhance security, to me, says, well, maybe you shouldn't have released them to start with.
It's very true. If you're going to budge on that.
But at the same time, you say, well, by releasing them, perhaps this puts changes forward. It's been done already.
So that this stops.
Yeah, it's weird.
Think about it. If they waited till we were completely out of Afghanistan, the Pentagon probably would have been like, you know what? We'll deal with, we'll have some more training.
You're right.
No big deal.
You're right.
At least we're not there.
You know what
now?
Else happened here is a newspaper got a hold of it before the internet did. But either way, those pictures were going to get out there.
Probably right.
That's true.
So. Right. And then there's the Secret Service scandal. A number of agents, including supervisors, have been fired or put on leave. But some of the agents say they're single and that no money was exchanged. They say they didn't think their lady friends were hookers. In some cases, they say they weren't. Mitt Romney says he would clean house at the Secret Service. But President Obama, in a world of Ted Nugent's, is standing by the head of the agency and the agency itself because they're literally watching his back. Speaking of Ted Nugent.
Yeah, I would say in deference to Barack Obama, he's a little closer to the source here.
Mm-hmm.
As far as,
even I've
blowing
heard,
up the whole thing, pardon the pun.
I've heard that even Congress, members of Congress are hesitant, reluctant to mess too much with the Secret Service because even they sort of have a fear and respect of that agency.
Yeah, but at the same time, let's chop this,
let's fix this
guy's head off and get on with it, and get a new guy in there. Get the number two guy to go up to, really. I think you have to make a decisive blow. When all the facts come to light, when you get it all done and finish this investigation as soon as you can, then make your call and then move on.
Speaking of Ted Nugent, he's meeting with Secret Service agents today about anti-Obama comments that bordered on threats of violence.
I'd give $1 million to be a fly on that wall.
Oh, but that's an entertaining meeting.
That's got to be a fun meeting. That's got to be a lot of fun.
Quoting Nugent from an NRA video this week, if Obama becomes president again, I will either be dead or in jail by this time next year. Yesterday on Glenn Beck's show, Nugent said he was speaking metaphorically and that he was looking forward to meeting with the Secret Service.
Are you kidding me? That dip... goes on Glenn Beck. He goes on Glenn Beck.
One of the few places he's welcome.
Unbelievable.
You want to hear more of what he said yesterday?
I'd love to hear what he said.
He had another comment about black Jews to that effect.
Check this out. It's good stuff.
This is the Saul Alinsky Rule for Radicals playbook. The Nazis and the Klan hate me. See, I'm a black Jew at a Nazi Klan rally, and there are some power-abusing, corrupt monsters in our federal government.
Stop. I'm not going to give him the forum.
That's enough.
He doesn't get it.
No, he doesn't.
No. Ted Nugent doesn't get it. Ted Nugent is as crazy as Mel Gibson. And that's why Ted Nugent can only express himself in these ridiculous extremes that involve
blowing people. They don't even make sense.
People. No!
Who the f*** must he? Don't have something to eat!
And he gets...
Hooray!
He gets him. Sorry, I didn't mean to step on the hooray.
And it'll be good for this will be
on the hooray.
This will be good for Ted Nugent's career.
Yeah, any, and you know what? About anything would be good for Ted Nugent's career.
It's about time.
Conservatives thought it would be a good idea to force welfare recipients to pass drug tests before getting their checks.
Yeah, RJ.
They were wrong. In Florida, so far, the drug hasn't saved taxpayers a dime. It didn't scare away a single welfare recipient, and it didn't even find very many drug abusers.
Sheesh.
And thanks to the overturning of part of that law...
How racist is that, though? You want your food stamps? You got to take a drug test because you're all on crack.
And initially, Florida said, and you have to pay for that drug test.
Oh.
And now Georgia has passed a law saying requiring the same thing and requiring their welfare recipients to take and pay for the drug
what
test.
What is that tape, Ron and Fez? White people are so scared of black people.
Thanks to a court overturning the part of the law that required welfare applicants to pay for their own drug test, the test cost Floridians an extra $46,000.
Yay, who's hungry?
And finally...
Hooray!
We all had a good laugh yesterday at the report of a town in Australia that's thinking about changing its name from the ING version of the F word to something a little less graphic. But our intrepid listeners had the last laugh when they researched the story, something we always encourage, and found that the town is actually in Austria, not Australia.
Oh, dear.
Your faithful reporter made an effing mistake. F me. I'm Buzz Burbank on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Wow. All right. Well, hey, let's go to that town in Austria. That's pretty country. Our show today was brought to you by
Encore
Insurance Services, LLC. Even if you already have life insurance, you might be paying too much.
Encore
may be able to help you. For a free quote, just like Oscar got, visit smartterm.com or call 866-347-5748. They'll compare rates to help you save. Licensing and disclaimer info at smartterm.com.
Encore
Insurance Services. Hey, on the bonus hour this week, you're going to want to tune in for this, folks. And for many of you that are our VIP penises, you're going to be very excited about the fact that we are going to be doing What I Hate About You, What I Love About You.
Nice.
We're putting our names and our topics into a hat, and whoever matches up will have to tell that person what they either love or hate about certain aspects of their life.
Right.
Including cars, hygiene, everything else. It should be interesting, so check that out on the bonus hour. We'll be back with another one. Oscar Santana will be in San Diego this weekend.
Have a good trip.
Moondoggies.
Moondoggies, 5 p.m. Pacific time on Saturday. Go out for Oscar's meet and greet and say hello to him, and he will be back with us. You're going to be back
Monday.
On Monday?
Yeah.
Monday with a report on his fabulous trip to San Diego. Have a great weekend, everybody. Let's go, Caps. We'll see you tomorrow.
Bye-bye.
Ciao, ciao.
For now, Dick Clark. So long.